very saddening. It's very heartbreaking. And it's nonsensical, non-logical, non-practical rules and regulations that are overbearing and overarching that make it impossible for anyone to basically survive through those things.
Please hear me when I say this. The cost of living in California is because of the regulatory burden that is put on us by regulators.
There's not a single small business owner who hasn't had to navigate the tricky waters of local government regulations and the permitting process. For those trying to do business along California's coast, however, the difficulties are greatly increased by that forever-present sea monster, also known as the California Coastal Commission. Today's guests are a husband and wife team who build and renovate homes and who have many customers with coastal property. The contortions they and their clients must go through, even to install a basement or fortify a seawall, can only make you wonder why anyone would do business in California. I'm Tony Melandra, NFIB California Senior Media Manager. We're proud to have this podcast supported in part by Five Star Bank, serving customers through specialized banking solutions for entrepreneurs, business owners, and community leaders in Northern California. Here to talk with today's guests is NFIB California's Chief Legislative Advocate, Tim Taylor. Take it away, Tim.
I am Tim Taylor with NFIB, as Tony said. Thank you, Tony, for that intro. And I am here with Marshall and Beth Booth. They are on the NFIB Leadership Council, and they are just dynamite business owners, a great family, great kids. And I had the pleasure of meeting them in DC, and they really struck a chord with me. They were very compelling in the meetings we had in the Capitol.
Yeah, appreciate that, Tim. Thank you.
Of course. Yeah. Please tell us, you guys work together in a business, which I admire very much, husband and wife doing that. Can't be that easy, but tell us a little bit about your business.
We are a design build company in Southern California, San Diego. We're mostly on the coast. So we do a lot of whole home renovations, forever home renovations for people. We work almost exclusively with end users. So we're not doing specs or flips or anything like that. We're just totally invested with our client, what their vision is, their long-term goals, their short-term goals. They want to grow into this home with their family. They want to have more kids. They want their grandparents to come live with them, whatever it may be. So that's our passion and drive. And we've been doing it here in California for 14 years.
We deal with a lot of specialty commissions like the California Coastal Commission on the waterfront when we're doing a lot of very complex projects dealing with them, specialty HOAs, certain governing agencies that make our process very complicated and very tricky to move forward. So it takes a lot of dedication and experience to navigate those complicated waters.
So tell us about some of those complications. What's it like dealing with those sort of government entities that you mentioned on a daily ongoing basis?
So it becomes more and more challenging year over year. It became extremely challenging since the lockdown. And then since the lockdown, now a lot of these governing agencies are still working remotely. So you started back when you had Coastal Commission that was there with great intentions, however many years ago, that now has kind of escalated into an overarching, overbearing, overcomplicated, nonsensical rules and no ability to even communicate with them. And so we have several projects where we have navigated the tenuous waters to meet kind of requirements that once were reasonable before that now are very, very restrictive for anybody to develop, safely secure their home or do anything on the coastal waterfront, to now being to a state to where you can't even communicate with them. So you can't even get a meeting, a phone call, or a response with these particular government agencies. And so what's now kind of transitioned to make that even further complicated is the local governing agencies in the cities are now also kind of bending towards their overarching rules, which is making it even harder on us. So for example, in one of our local cities, the LCP tells you that you're allowed to build a basement. Also in the Coastal Act, there's no provision that says that you cannot build a basement. But now in present time, in the last 6 months, the Coastal Commission is starting to say that, hey, guess what, guys? We don't want you to be able to build a basement. And so there's no law, no governing rule or anything like that. And so now, now what was received on one of our recent corrections was the city, local city municipality has also stopped advocating for their own laws in their LCPs. And so now we're in H22, where we can't move forward because we have to defer to Coastal, but Coastal won't even start the process until the local governing agency approves it in the hearing. And so now we're at the impasse. And so now what's terrible is now we have to fully deploy 100% the legal team to advocate us in a law manner, which is totally unnecessary, totally time consuming, and costs the end user a lot of money.
And this is to build a basement. I want to reiterate, this is part of the problem I think that a lot of business owners feel in California is that the administrative, unelected administrative state is really running the show in a lot of instances. And they have power, and it's that sort of power that you can't really change by changing who's sitting in a particular elective seat. Do you kind of have that sense too, Beth?
Yeah, Tim, it's unelected people that are nameless and faceless. So if you have a complaint or you realize this isn't working, you cannot elect anybody in or out of these seats. These are appointments by Sacramento. So also these regulations at the city level or the building level are never voted on. The voters never even know what's going on. The vast, vast majority of voters and citizens here have no idea what's going on in the building sector. All they know is their cost of living is skyrocketing and they don't understand why. And so for us, we feel like because we're behind the curtain, we see what's going on. We know what the driving factors are for this massive cost of living influx. And it's just really sad because these homeowners, they own their property, they pay taxes, they pay property taxes, and yet you have a governing body that's unelected telling them what they can and can't do with their own property. So that's unfortunate and unreasonable, and it's not the law. It's just when you cede all power to a governing body, that's what you're doing. You're letting them create laws that aren't actually even there. And then the homeowners, like Marshall said, when you have to deploy a legal team every time you want to do anything, you are making the cost so prohibitive to 99% of Californians to ever do anything on their home. And we think that's wrong, and we believe that people should be able to remodel their home within reason, if they prefer, and not have to be the super, super wealthy to do so. And that's what we're seeing. It's just very sad and unnecessary.
And why is the Coastal Commission even involved in basements? I don't really see that nexus. I usually think of them as, you know, protecting the coastline when they want to put up oil rigs or something of that ilk. But basements? I didn't even know they had their hand in that pot, so to speak.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So kind of the big push with the Coastal Commission is to allow erosion on the coast so that all of these homes on the waterfront are subject to just completely erode away.
That's their desire.
Let me
just specify what Coastal wants is for the coastline to become natural again. So if every single house falls into the ocean, they're actually happy with that because that means it will look natural. So the problem is you have a law that gets put in place in Sacramento that's intentionally vague to like as much vagary as possible. They say, Coastal, your job is to protect the ocean, period, full stop. And now Coastal Commission comes back with, you know, a 5,000 page document that says, well, to protect the ocean, here's what we're going to do. And then they create endless red tape and like legal precedent for their agency that had complete vague things to begin with. So this is like an overstep, but the government wants them to be like that so they don't have to be accountable.
So what's interesting, Tim, about this particular project with this particular basement is already in place on this lot. We have creatively have to demo the existing structure and pull it behind this imaginary line that has this receding factor of safety for the coast to keep going back that is not only higher than Coastal Commission specifies, it's extremely high in this particular city's local municipality. So now we have conformed to both of those regulations. And now what they're trying to say with the basement is that you're okay, have now conceded to the safety factor of potential erosion, but now subterraneously, this basement could be an imaginary seawall. And so what's terrible about that is, one, it's not a seawall. But furthermore, where this has gone is the Coastal Commission doesn't even want to allow you to put in a seawall to protect your home. I have a property to the north of this property to where I'm having to fight tooth and nail for a failing seawall where their house is settling, the wall is cracking, the wall is yielding, the whole entire property is in effect. And I have to now also legally pursue with law to fight and champion that right. And not only that, I have to hire a team of geotechnical experts, structural experts, civil experts, and now I have to put in hundreds of thousands of dollars just for a homeowner to be able to even protect their place.
And then I would imagine those costs get passed on to some degree to the prospective homeowner.
Well, yeah, they're all fronted by the homeowner.
They're all fronted, yeah.
They're all fronted by the homeowner. But at some point, even they might say, look, the cost overruns are too high. We're going to have to pull the plug. I don't wish that on you, but it seems like that would be a natural occurrence given these setbacks, the time, the money, the overruns through no fault of your own. Really tough climate to do business in, I would imagine.
It's heart-wrenching. Yeah. So this particular home that we were just talking about with the seawall, these wonderful clients have been in their home for 20-something years, maybe 30 years. They've been there forever. Very, very conservative. They fought tooth and nail to be able to buy this property, have this property. This is a legacy property to then also pass on to their kids and have this experience. And so now what's happening is, to your point, it's completely pricing them out of any viable option to ever be able to sustain that home, protect that home, and even do superficial remodeling to that structure. And so it's very saddening. It's very heartbreaking. And it's nonsensical, non-logical, non-practical rules and regulations that are overbearing and overarching that make it impossible for anyone to basically survive through those things. And so it's very disheartening.
And then you have the other battle that you have to fight. Now that we've disclosed this and found out what's happening, now if they did want to sell, they'd have to tell that to the new owner, which makes their property worth half, a quarter of what it was worth 6 months ago. So now you are saddling these homeowners with a home that now that not only can they not remodel, but they can't sell. But again, if your goal is to not have any remodeling so that the homes basically disintegrate because they're 50 years old, and then your coastline can go back natural, if that's what you're saying, you know, families who have been there for 30 years be damned, then your goal is succeeding. So it's just very
hundreds of years.
Yeah, hundreds of years. And it's just very sad. And it's very punitive too. Like, that's the other thing we want to get across is, even if you're allowed to do something per law, they will punitively say, don't think so. Well, show me why I can't do that. Nope, don't have to. Sorry, move along. Next, you know, find me with your lawyers, you know, that kind of thing. So it's just, nobody's winning except for, you know, a very small group of activists who control these boards.
Yeah, unelected, unaccountable. That's a real problem. The entire administrative state in California is headed in that direction where, you know, the Air Resources Board is, we know their role right now. It's big, it's massive, and we do work with them, and there's some good people there, of course. But the challenge is that those positions on the Air Resources Board are coveted and they're appointed and they're done by the governor, and it's usually ex-members of the legislature, something like that. And then they move on to some other board. And it's a natural way for members who are termed out to continue their careers in the service of the government. And but because they're unelected and they are unaccountable, and you run into this kind of stuff a lot. I didn't know that it was this severe. It almost sounds like they're not operating in good faith, that they're throwing up obstacles to prevent your business from running. You've done everything right. You paid your taxes, whatever permitting, licensing, you do all of that stuff. And then you have the Coastal Commission essentially flaunting its power and negating your ability to do business.
That's 100% accurate. And so what's interesting about just even our local experience and our team that are the subspecialists, the law firms, the geotechnical teams, civil teams, all those people, the city consultants, they're also doing this on many other levels. And so the common consensus is in the project. This one gal was telling me right now, she's 3 years in to trying to stabilize a wall for a home. 3 years, she cannot get reciprocated communication. And this particular client doesn't have enough money to then deploy all the big lawyers and to do all those things. And so this is 100% part of their tactic. It's also an excuse for the shutdown. It's also an excuse that they're not in office. Now that they're in office, though, there's still this non-response. It's simply, we don't have time to get back to you. We have another project in Carlsbad where the sea revetment, which is the sea walls that were put in place many years ago, permitted. In their perspective, there are part of those rocks underneath the sand for a dedicated easement for beachgoers to go on there. They are putting a fine on the property as of the last 15 years that sticks with the title for these imaginary rocks that are underneath the sand that don't have any merit to the adjacent properties, that if you took that literal for the new buyer, that would be a punitive penalty in the $5, $6, $7 million range if they held that to the law. Furthermore, what they won't do is they won't write formal responses to the remediation of so-called rocks that are buried beneath the sand to allow the end user to satisfy that. So they single-handedly have stalled this one property for the last 14 to 15 years while pushing potential punitive damages to the end user. So we know right off the bat, this is nonsensical, illogical, and overreaching, overbearing authority that is not ethical at all.
But again, if your goal is to have no development and you can scare every buyer in the state away from purchasing this property, then you're good. You've made your goal. And so I think that's the thing that's frustrating is that, the vast majority of citizens who are paying taxes, homeowners, in business, have jobs, work in fast food, whatever it is that you're doing, most likely you don't know the depth of what's going on here. And you're curious about why are costs of goods so high? Why is cost of living so high? These are the reasons, the buried, buried reasons.
Hi, I'm James Beckwith, President and CEO of Five Star Bank. We are excited to help bring you this series of podcasts focused on small business concerns in conjunction with the NFIB. When Five Star Bank was founded in 1999, it was business and community leaders, local entrepreneurs, who wanted to create the sort of personalized banking services they desired themselves. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. A true understanding of the needs of small business owners. I know a meaningful relationship with a banker can be hard to find. At Five Star Bank, we are responsive, understand your business, and are committed to your success. We want to be a part of your growth and a valued partner supporting your vision and your dreams. You'll find direct access to a banker, complete online and mobile business banking you need to succeed. As an SBA preferred lender, let us help you with your startup business or existing business. If you're looking to make a change, please give us the opportunity to demonstrate what our personalized banking services could mean for you. I promise you individual attention from our colleagues who understand your business and are as committed to your success as you are. You can find us online at fivestarbank.com.
And so we're talking obviously about unelected officials here. Have you, I assume you guys are very sophisticated, you're very smart, this is your livelihood. So I'm going to assume that you've talked to your elected officials, that you've reached out to them for some assistance. What have they provided, the ones who are accountable to the voters?
Well, they kind of just hit a buzzsaw in Sacramento. So if you want development and you're pro-development as a local city councilman, for example, who do you go to? You can't go to Coastal Commission because they're not going to get back to you. You could go to Sacramento, but they also are, you know, activists at the moment with a supermajority, so they can bulldoze right over anybody with a dissenting opinion. And so you really have no recourse in California right now. If you're a business owner, a small business owner, if you're just a homeowner and all you want to do is remodel your own house, you have nobody to go to. So that's the sad part. And even on a personal note, Tim, I will tell you that I've lived in beach towns my whole life. I am 40. And only in the last 3 years have the sand at my local beaches been eroded and have not come back. Okay. So every year we have erosion, no big deal. The city comes in, pumps the sand, and then we all go to the beach and we're happy. So that's been my whole life experience here. In the last 3 years, they refuse to pump sand. So all of the beaches in my town are now unusable. So you have hotels that are being completely decimated because nobody wants to come stay at their hotel because they can't use the beach. Restaurants, bars, retail, coffee shops, local tap houses. Like, we have a thriving small business, like eateries around our town. They're all being hammered that people don't want to go to the beach. You can't go sit on the beach. It's all stinking rocks. They want the dissipation of these cities because they want less environmental impact, less gasoline consumed, less energy, less natural gas, right? So it's actually like depopulation, yay. And that's just not good for anybody, like on an individual level, personal, family, business, job, economy, all the things.
How many employees do you have?
So we're a boutique type firm as far as our direct employees go. So we have about 13 people on our direct employed staff. We have a far-reaching subcontractor, sub-specialist team that we reach pretty deep with. Part of our geotechnical team that's considered an independent contractor is heavily, heavily involved with the Army Corps. And he's one of the key writers under that. And so what he's been doing on a local level is championing geotechnical reports for all of these things and meeting with the local geotechnical teams regarding development, regarding beach stabilizations, regarding the different harbors and different things that you put into place along the way to help control all of this erosion. And so what we're trying to do on a local level is get also our geotechnical local governing supervising people to get on board. And so unilaterally, then we can present these letters, these findings and information and studies to our other congressmen and people in control.
And just as employers, what are some of the challenges you have with employees? I don't mean the employees themselves. I mean, with the kind of the structure of being an employer, what's it like doing business in California in that instance, in that case?
Yeah, well, I mean, just our overhead alone just went up 6%. Our cost of goods just went up 15%. Our fuel is ridiculous just for even your, not even like, we're not even talking our subcontractor, big delivery, 5-ton, 7-ton trucks. We're talking about your typical 2,500, 3,500 and 1,500 truck that is your everyday carrier of your tools and maybe a tool trailer has gone up probably 4X in just the last, 3.5 years. And so the cost of inflation that keeps going up, the only thing that is surpassing that right now is the cost of construction in our industry. And so you can imagine on multi-million dollar projects, just how big that delta is individually. And so we can't give raises fast enough. We can't catch our overhead quick enough. And a lot of these projects go anywhere from 12 months, 18 months, 3 years. And if you start a proposal on the contract, I can't magically all of a sudden say, homeowner, guess what? It's 30% more or 25% more. And so it's a very, very difficult economy. And we're having to restructure a lot of our contracts now to where it's literally escalation everywhere. And it's very saddening to the end user also, because at some point, even with deep pockets, you have a breaking point. And these are your dream remodel, dream homes. It's your home, even if it's not this multi-bazillion coastal waterfront, this is your home you're talking about. And the difference of 15% could literally ruin everything that you've saved your entire life to be able to do. And it's completely disheartening.
And just because we do huge multi-million dollar jobs, whatever, I'm thinking constantly about what it was like for us as homeowners 15 years when we bought our first house. We'd save $20,000. And that was like the most ever, right? I want to do a renovation for $20,000. Now you can't even buy your appliances alone for that. You can't. And so the entire state of people, homeowners who have saved, bought their first home, they want to put in new floors and paint, and then they get the bad news. Oh, it's 3 times what you thought it was going to be. It's just sad. We feel like people should be able to remodel their home if they want for a reasonable price and let them do things. they know inflation's bad. But then when we say, yeah, we're also the only industry outpacing the already horrid inflation, they're like, oh my God. So their life savings that they thought was going to remodel their whole house can now only go 50% of the way. So it's just, it's a backwards type of tax, right, on working people and business owners. And like Marshall said, if we contracted with someone when our OHP was 15%, and now 3 years later, it's 25, who's paying that? Like we are, because we're ethical people in our mind. We would never just randomly change someone's contract, right? So like Spaces Renewed is the one paying for that, which means Beth and Marshall are paying for that, like out of our savings, out of our, you know, college funds for our kids, whatever, to make up that difference. Like somebody has to make it up. And so it's just been really a difficult season.
We have 396,000 punitive regulations in California. That dwarfs any other state. That is an astronomical number to me. You know, I sometimes ask people, what if there were no new regulations? What if there were a moratorium on regulations for 5 years? Would we be okay? Yeah, I think we'd be better than okay. They keep adding to the list. I also feel that way sometimes about legislation. We're just doing more and more bad things to the state, fighting against anti-business proposals all the time. If we had a moratorium on legislation, we would be better off. We could kind of heal, refurbish, and crank up the economy again. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that for me is a really tough one, because I understand the concept of environmental regulations, but you create a law that says we would like to have clean air and water. And then, like you said, that one sentence turns into 300,000 regulations that nobody knows about, nobody voted for, nobody has done a study on, nobody understands the cost implicated in those things. So again, please hear me when I say this. The cost of living in California is because of the regulatory burden that is put on us by regulators. And so when, even if you have the best heart and intention ever for environmental preservation, the punitive effects of regulations that are not necessary, and in many cases, duplicates and triples and quadruples of the same thing over and over and over again, you're not helping the environment. You're destroying people's lives. Do these people have your best intentions at heart? Are they being wise with your money? If they're not being wise with your money, then your response as a homeowner or a business owner or whoever has to be, I'm giving you no more money. If we destroyed people's homes, right, in the process of remodeling them, we would not deserve more money. We would not be able to continue to change order our homeowners for our own negligence, malfeasance, bad planning, bad management. Like we would never do that. We don't do that. We don't change order someone because we are incompetent. So I don't understand why the government is the only one allowed to change order a taxpayer for their incompetence. It's absolutely wrong and ridiculous. And we should all just say we've had enough. And you absolutely don't get to control the money anymore because you're very bad at it. You're very, very bad at it.
The two things that I'll kind of add to that statement about the environmental control is that the unelected officials that are in place that control many of these new regulations have zero expertise in actually the specifics on how the environment is affected. Mm-hmm. These are emotional, theoretical, good feeling statements that have no true substance of geotechnical, scientific observations. And so it is completely unfair and wrong. We need less regulations, and we need to depend more upon the experts than unelected officials that have no bearing in that field of expertise or claiming to be experts in.
When you're talking about regulatory burden on building specifically, when we had a window package, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that would have passed all compliances, go from 50,000 to now you're talking, you know, 150,000 for basically the exact same window package because of the endless energy calculations that have to go into these things now. And you do that across the board with 75 different things, like plumbing parts are another good example. What was acceptable 10 years ago, we now decide we want to save water to the point of having major plumbing factories have to retool every single one of their faucets, every single shower head, every single valve, every single toilet. That increases the plumbing prices by 50%. So if you do that across the board, why do you think building is so expensive? It's because of all of these regulatory things that are piled on top of manufacturers. And then, of course, they have to pass that to the distributor. And then, of course, the distributor has to pass it on to the builder. And then me as the builder has to pass it on to the client. So that's where these skyrocketing costs are coming from. And if people just understood that, I would hope they would hold these people more accountable. But, you know, it sounds good, right? Oh, we're going to save the environment. You know, use less water. That doesn't work.
So how do you think we right this ship? Obviously, the business climate is very challenging in California for a lot of the reasons that you're talking about right here, just specifically for you, but for businesses in general. It seems to be like we're increasingly in a state that is union funded, public union in particular.
Right.
How do we right the ship so that small business folks can run their businesses, be profitable, and not feel the heat of regulators every single day? I'd like to know your perspective on that.
I think we have to tell the story. The narrative out there is completely wrong and it's not clear. And so I think we got to tell the story, provide more information to the public, and have more people that understand how this affects everyone on an end user level, because it transcends all the way across the board. I think we have to then continue to fight with the NFIB, but then also local people, to where we can start to change who is in control and who makes these decisions. How do they get into a governing rule, and what can we do to prevent people that are unelected to just appear overnight and then stop them from making these overarching rules and then not having any of us end users to appeal to?
And I think generally changing the mindset, where we've been told that to save the environment, every cost is worth bearing. And I know that if people understood the nitty-gritty about what was going on, they would see that is something to make you feel guilty and bad while not accomplishing the goal that is stated. And so if people can say, you know what, that's actually unacceptable that you're telling me that I can't use water when you refuse to do water retention.
Totally.
And people to say, you know what, it's unacceptable, Sacramento, that telling me that I need to turn off my AC because you have not invested in electrical infrastructure. That's your fault. Like, no. And you know what? It's also unacceptable that you continue to raise the fuel prices because you are fighting like Don Quixote, a war against energy. Like, it's unacceptable. And so I think if people just understood, you don't have to take this, you don't have to think it's acceptable. Don't let them bully you into saying that you're bad for the environment, you don't care about the environment. No. We care about people. We care about people. They should be able to turn on their AC when it's 110 degrees and you're not going to guilt me for it anymore. And in fact, I'm going to hold you accountable and vote you out if you even think about crossing me about energy.
And speaking of tilting at windmills, I find it very fascinating that I've never really been a special pleader for the governor in any instance, really. But I think with what we're seeing now in the legislature, we're getting a lot of new members, and a lot of that has to do with term limits. And I think initially, right out of the gate, they want to show their bona fides and how strong they are and how, you know, pro-union they are and pro-climate they are. They're really, I think, fighting against a lot of the needed infrastructure that we're trying to improve in California. It's been a long time coming, for sure, in terms of the roads. You were speaking about pothole roads and so forth, and bridges and aqueducts and the whole nine yards. We are, you know, we're using, you know, 1960s, 50s technology still in a lot of instances. And to me, it's a bit ironic that the one who sort of has the, look, we need to get some stuff done and we can't use CEQA as an excuse not to rebuild our infrastructure. And that voice is coming from the governor. And I never would have thought that in this day and age. I always thought he was that guy that was maybe pushing a little too hard in that regard. But he's fighting even people even more who don't want to do anything with the infrastructure. And it's a real challenge. So, but it does give me a little bit of hope that there are people typically on that side of the aisle that don't really want to do as much as other entities, maybe with bridges and dams and aqueducts and so forth. But he's saying, look, we need to not use CEQA as an excuse not to rebuild our infrastructure. So I think there's a glimmer of light in that direction, where even I think the governor is feeling like some of the newer members are hiding behind CEQA in a lot of ways to prevent things from moving forward.
Well, of course, because if you're an activist and you're not for people and you're for activism, then that makes sense. You're going to want to stymie every project just because of your philosophy, right? You're dogmatic about a philosophy because you're an activist and you don't care that people are the ones paying the price, paying the cost. Their cost of living is going up. Their quality of life is going down. And so we think that that should be the benchmark for any politician. If you don't care that people's quality of life is going down, like, that's unacceptable. And if the governor can stand in that gap while they have a supermajority and beat back the activist base for the good of people, right? I'm not even here to advocate for small business as I am for people. Like, people should be able to fill their gas tank on the way to work or way to drop their kids off from school. I got my kids in soccer and karate. I should be able to fill up my tank and not feel bad about it. And so the environmental crusade of the activists is what all of this is about, Tim. And so if you deal with the environmental cultism that is happening and the war on energy, I guarantee you cost of living will absolutely plummet. Quality of life absolutely skyrockets. So if you want two simple things, that's what it is. End your war on energy and end the environmental cultism.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think the members that you're referring to as activists, they are activists, but at some point, even they need to realize that they are there to govern. They are not activists anymore. They have a legitimate role in improving the lives of Californians, and you don't do that by being a complete activist, as you point out. So we're all Californians. We all want to improve California, make it better, make it more livable, and leave something of value behind to our kids and future generations. What can we do to do that? I know you're working in a certain sense and you're running your business, and that's a legacy in and of itself. But for all of California, what do you think we all can do just as citizens?
I love California. We love California. Our business is here. Families are here. Friends are here. Our clients are here. And so I just think as Californians, we do want to protect the environment. We do want to protect our state. We have the most beautiful place on earth to live, and we're all grateful for that. And so I think as a team, our specific building and legacy that we want to do is we want to do things right. We want to go over and beyond and do everything we can to preserve these things. And so we're not looking for like free hall passes from, you know, elected officials and these commissions. We believe in the structure that's there. We believe in the Coastal Commission. We believe in the municipalities. And so we're on board with all of these people. We just want to help people understand that the pendulum has swung. And so we want to keep everything tight, orderly, and preserved so that the legacy carries on. And so that for generation after generation, people can continue to experience California and not have to exit. Because if we all exit, then no one's left here to preserve our great state.
Marshall, that is a great comment, and I think a great way to end the podcast. And with that, really thank you, the Booths, for coming on the podcast. It's wonderful to hear your story. You are very passionate, I think, about your business, but I think about California in general, too. And we have that in common. And thank you for joining us. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Beth and Marshall Booth, for your thoughts and insights for this podcast. Again, we'd like to thank Five Star Bank for its generous support of this and future podcasts. You can learn more about Five Star Bank at fivestarbank.com. You can find all NFIB California podcasts at nfib.com/ca/podcasts. That's nfib.com/ca/podcasts. You can also find our podcast on your favorite podcast app by searching NFIB California. I would also like to thank Multipoint Content Strategies for its production of this podcast. You can learn more about them at multipointstrategies.com. Why podcasts for small business? It's been NFIB's educational mission for 80 years to remind policymakers that small businesses are not smaller versions of big businesses, and that a one-size-fits-all rule, regulation, or tax can do Main Street enterprises more harm than good. We hope these podcasts aid in better understanding. Finally, thank you to our listeners. If you like what you heard, please share this episode, subscribe, and give us a positive rating. We would appreciate it.